Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 105 of the Milk Bar. Chaos ensues. And I'll explain quite why in a minute, but we do have a band in the studio. I'll tell you about that in a sec. But we have Rob here. Hello, Rob.
Hi, everyone.
Rob, returned from your holiday?
I have done.
And returning from ill health after several months.
Six.
Yes. Yeah. The one and only Zoe Turner. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Feeling much better, thank you.
You're
very
looking
much.
Full of life and ready and raring to go. And it is good. You've been on holiday, haven't you?
Yeah, I did a few weeks ago.
And you're going away again?
I'm off again next week as well.
Well, it's interesting because last time you were away, on Facebook, I noticed you were at Birmingham Airport as I was flying off for work to Holland and you were going off to
Spain.
And next week, I'm flying to Norway on Wednesday. And what day are you going on holiday?
Tuesday.
So I'll miss you at the airport this time.
Yes.
But it'd be,
you should have let me know. You could have met up for a breakfast or something.
I was about to get on the plane when I discovered you were there, unfortunately.
Oh,
but
okay.
There we go. So we have to sort that out. So good to see you again.
Thank you very much.
And you can now join in with proper interviews and everything.
Have
you been interviewing the family at home? Because you've been lost without chatting with people.
No, unfortunately not.
No, it's only strangers you like talking to.
Well, not so much of that anymore.
No, but there we go.
I've been housebound.
So you poor thing.
Yeah, I've been talking to myself quite a lot.
We're not going to talk about your ovaries today, though, so we'll just stick with the guests we have lined up. That includes Art with Tony Russell. We're actually talking to Mark Porter, and we're talking about testicular cancer. Joe Talbot, he's off to Cambodia to an orphanage. We'll be having a chat with him. He's recently had his legs waxed. So you like legs, don't you?
Waxed legs.
Yeah.
Might be a bit strange on a man, though.
Okay, well, you like waxed legs on women?
Not personally,
okay,
but they do look all right.
And Rob's even worn his shorts for you today.
I have.
I did ask earlier if there was anybody coming in shorts.
Yeah, I did especially. So yeah, it's been a nice day, but why not?
We were talking with Joe about his legs and his trip abroad. But first of all, though, we have a chat with a couple of guys who have got a podcast of their very own. It's called Brain Spill, and they are Tim and Simon. Hello, lads.
Hello. Lovely to see you, Jason.
And to see you, even though we're talking to you on Skype. It's not real. You're in a studio far, far away.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know they're making me laugh already? Because they remind me of the one... is it 118? The chaps on there.
Well, we don't have moustaches, but yeah.
But you are wearing headbands.
Ready for a jog.
And short shorts.
She'll get carried away again.
Can I have a picture?
Of course you can. My legs aren't waxed, though.
No, polar opposite.
So you go and comb them. Meanwhile, tell us a bit about Brain Spill and how your podcast came about.
Well, we are radio production students at Glendale University, which is in Wrexham. And as a part of that, we decided that a podcast is the natural option to take, as it's getting us out there and just being able to be silly on a microphone.
Yep, we can say what we want on a podcast. We've known each other for how many years? 20?
No, more than that.
More than that.
22?
Yeah, since we were very young. So it was only natural that the two of us got together and tried to make some funnies.
Yeah.
And working well so far. You're about 12 months into all this, aren't you?
We started in October.
Yeah, so that's
probably, 8 months?
Mm-hmm. Like 8 months or so. Yeah, it's starting to go well. It's starting to pick up recently. We're getting a few more downloads, and we're hoping it'll get bigger and better as time goes on.
And when you're working on this sort of thing, and what are you doing to try and be funny? It must be difficult. Zoe is just absolutely...
I'm just naturally funny, to be fair.
Yeah, she is just a comedy gold all the way along. But, I mean, what's it like for you guys, then, if you're sat there in front of a microphone? We've got to be humorous, because you like to include little pre-recorded slots in your shows.
We wanted to break up the podcast, because the majority of it is things that have occurred to us, and so we have to be sort of aware when we're going about daily business that could be funny, that could be turned into something funny if we had a conversation.
Although, to be honest, most of our humour, it's the sort of conversations we'd have in the pub. There's nothing that you'd hear on the podcast that we're not having off mic as well.
Yeah.
So most of the conversations we've had, we've probably had the day before.
It's all repeats.
Regurgitating.
Is that what you're telling us?
In audio form.
It's like Radio 4 Extra.
Yes.
Precisely. Yeah. But when it comes to breaking up those bits, we've come up with fake adverts. And those, that's a bit more thought has gone into that.
Yeah, a bit more thought into that.
Yeah, but it's... I think the ideas just seem to come at us thick and fast, and then we'd put them into practice.
Guys, I used to do something similar at university. I did broadcast journalism, so not too far off radio production. We worked with the radio production guys quite a lot, and we found that online was the best way to get ourselves out there. Is that what you guys are trying to do? Do you, like, exploit the online environment to get yourselves known out there already?
Yeah, especially with, you've got social media such as Twitter now. Twitter's massive for us. Because we started off on the internet chucking podcasts up, telling our friends to download it, and your friends aren't really interested.
No, they say they are, but they're not.
They probably were in the pub with you when you had the conversation.
Listened. They have not listened.
They have no idea what it is.
No.
But if you go, if we found that with Twitter, there's a very direct relationship that you can form with listeners. So we've set up our Twitter account, Tim and Simon, and we've made a point of setting up an immediate conversation with everybody that follows us. So if you follow us, we will say a personalised thanks for following message.
Guaranteed hello.
And it just builds a relationship immediately. And we've seen the fruits of that already. And we've only had the account for a couple of weeks.
Well, Zoe has no real friends, so she might...
I have lots of friends on Twitter and Facebook, thank
don't
you.
Don't believe you. Anyway, but you could be joining in, wouldn't you? You could follow them.
I was going to say, yes, can I have your address?
Mm-hmm. We'll be your friends, Zoe.
You could send me a personal picture of your
follow
legs.
Tim and Simon on Twitter.
will the leg picture follow, though?
That could be my personal
definitely.
Hello.
I'm not sure what my wife will have to say about that.
She'll come round. Don't worry.
She'll never know. Come on, Zoe, we're off.
Give us how to find you and your podcast.
Yeah, it's quite simple. timandsimon.co.uk, and you can download the podcast directly from there. Or you can find us on iTunes if you just search for Tim and Simon's Brain Spill, and you can subscribe on there.
Yeah, even if you just type in Tim and Simon into iTunes, you'll find our podcast immediately.
Simple as that. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us, and lovely to talk to you. And
thanks for having us.
We will make sure that Zoe does follow you. And it's often stalking in her case. So
Only on Twitter.
not in real life. Don't follow us down the street. Although, you never know. That's how beautiful friendships are formed, aren't they?
Cheers, guys, and we'll catch up with you soon. And look forward to your next episode, which, because it's fortnightly, isn't it, what you two do?
It is. Yes. Every other Thursday we release a podcast.
I shall look forward to the next one. Thanks, guys, once again, and I'll speak to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Cheers,
you
guys.
Bye.
Ciao for now. Right, we should have some music, shouldn't we? We have a band in the studio. We haven't said hello to them yet, which is a mission on my part. It's just everyone got so excited at the top of the show. So we will welcome back, actually for the third time, but they're damn good, which is the reason we're prepared to do it.
So it's third time lucky, Jason.
Yeah, they might.
They might do something quite good.
This could work. They are Seventh Syndicate. Hello!
You're right.
Hello!
There we go. Right, so Zoe, you can go and rove over that corner and have a chat you can stand with the boys in the corner. Okay. So let's get names. First of all, Lindsay, I know. I can say hello to over there. Lindsay, hello.
Hello there.
Hello. She's on drums. John.
Hello.
You're singing and acoustic.
Yeah.
Zoe, over to you.
And we have on bass.
On bass guitar, that's Gav.
And on guitar, it's Rob.
So what's been going on for you guys over the last 12 months?
Well, that stuff, been writing mostly. And we're... the moment we've got a gig coming up, which Gav's eager to talk about.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we'll be playing the Slade Rooms 23rd of July. That's a gig organised by Emma Scott from Krang Radio, who we got introduced to by a small record label, and she was looking for bands to play on her shows. So, she got back in touch with us and asked us if we'd like to come and do a gig for her at the Slade Rooms. So that's our next big gig in Wolverhampton.
Mm-hmm. So that's on the way. What date is that?
That's Saturday, the 23rd of July.
So not too far away. Okay, so getting tickets now. Give us the plug for where the tickets come from.
The best way to get tickets, you can get them from the Civic Box Office, but if you want a little bit off the price, come direct to the band, because we're nice like that. And you can get in touch with us just on Facebook. It's probably the easiest way. Just look up Seventh Syndicate on Facebook, and that'll be us. Like us and say, can I have a cheap ticket? And we'll say, yeah.
What are we taking first then from you guys? Is it going to be CD or live performance? Because we've got a couple of tracks and brand new recordings to take a listen to. And you've got guitars.
CD.
Okay, you want one? Yeah, you want to chill out and relax a bit first?
Yeah, well, it's just kind of like what we're all about. We've been working hard to do the recordings.
Okay, so what are we going to hear first time around?
Science.
Okay, now tell us a bit about this song and what you've done to it since the last treatment we may have heard.
Well, this first time we recorded that properly, mm-hmm. we kind of did a rough demo. But it took a while to write, because there's a lot of changes in there. And it's like, I suppose when you're writing a song, you kind of think about how hard you work. And then when you've got it all recorded, you kind of you stick with it for a while. So it has been around for a while, but we've worked hard on it.
Okay. Well, we'll take a listen to it. Where was it recorded?
It was recorded in Birmingham at Univibe Studio by a guy called Joel Spencer.
Yep. So full credit to him, and of course to you guys for what you've done to the tune. Let's take a listen to Seventh Syndicate and Signs. Seventh Syndicate and Science. Cheers, guys, for that one. Thank you for bringing the CD in.
It's all right.
You are staying, though. You're not getting to escape. And we will have next track will be live. Okay.
All right.
So whisper amongst yourselves about what it's going to be, okay?
Got to read a headline at the paper before we start. Meanwhile,
we should go back to the phone lines. And this time we're joined by Joe Talbot, who's currently raising funds for a trip to Cambodia where he's going to work on an orphanage out there. Joe, tell us a bit more about what you've been up to.
All right. Well, I've been having a few fundraising techniques, obviously. I've had my legs waxed for charity, which was...
Well, no, we were talking about this a short while ago. And Zoe likes a man's legs, but you weren't that keen on the waxed
thoughts. The wax look doesn't really appeal. If it's a man's legs, you expect them to be hairy, don't you?
As per the ones that Robbie's...
I'm sporting my hairy legs today,
showing off here. No, Zoe, you haven't touched those yet.
No, I haven't.
Do you want a quick go?
Quick stroke, like, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Like a little cat.
So, Joe, you're not going to get Zoe's attention just at the moment till the fur grows back, but who on earth came up with that idea? Because it's not one you're going to set yourself up for willingly, is it?
No, you're right. My mum's actually doing a beauty course at college, so she...
She was experimenting on you, basically.
Yeah. Did it hurt, though? I bet it didn't hurt that much. Cause they don't...
I don't know. It hurt a lot more on the left leg for some reason. It was quite painful, actually.
So one leg hurt more than the other. That's peculiar.
Yeah, it did.
Okay. So what else is going on, then, in the name of funds?
Okay. Well, I've already did a fete at St. George's Day in Great Whirley. Mm-hmm. Next up is the 25th of June, and that's Great Whirley Carnival, where I'll be having a stall and trying to raise some funds there.
And you're not selling leg hair, are you?
No, I'm not selling leg hair.
That's good. Okay, what are you, Tate? What is your trade?
For kids, really. It's like we've got to find the hidden treasure on the board and get a prize, hook a duck. We've got some people who've volunteered their time face painting to raise some money for my trip as well. You know, it's all fun and games.
So how does the trip itself work? So you've basically got to self-fund to get out there, but then you're actually doing volunteering on behalf of a big organisation.
Yes, that's right. The organisation's called POD, which is Personal Overseas Development. They sort of set it all up for you, arrange the placement. You have to book your own flights and everything and just get the money together and make sure, you know, you've got your injections and your malaria tablets and your bits and bobs.
So how much is it costing altogether? How much have you got so far and how much have you got left to raise?
I don't know exactly how much I've got so far. I've got a fair bit coming because I've been lucky enough to be to have some kind people... donate money to me, a school, the Warsaw Academy, a company called the Guild of Mercer Scholars, and the directors of Wood Farm Golf and Leisure Limited have donated money to me, which is very kind. Mm. And so at the moment I'm looking to raise a further £250.
That's it, you're all set to go? And
yeah, but any more money I raise will be donated to the orphanage itself.
Oh, right, okay.
What made you want to get involved in this, start off with him?
Well, I already do volunteer work here, you know. I've got Royal British Legion, I help out there sometimes, young carers groups, that sort of thing. It's like before uni, I wanted to obviously do something, you know. I didn't want to sit about for a few months and just get up to nothing, so... I was looking at what I could do, and this was on the internet, and it just really appealed to me.
So when do you head off for Cambodia?
6th of August I fly out, flying back on the 5th of September, so about a month.
So you've got a whole month's work to do, and the orphanage itself is just outside Phnom Penh?
Yeah, it's in a town called Takio, outside Phnom Penh, about 1.5 hours away from the capital.
So that's going to be a bit of a trek as well in itself, isn't it, getting across there? And are you meeting up with other volunteers who are also going to work when you arrive at the airport?
Not well after I arrive at the airport. I'm actually arriving on the Sunday evening, and the placement starts on the Monday, so I'm actually having like a hotel room and that booked and sorted, so I can get off in the Monday morning to the place. But I think all the volunteers will be there when I get to the actual town and the orphanage and everything.
And what sort of things are you going to be doing when you're there? What's it?
Well, it's teaching English, IT, that sort of stuff. You know, like if they, because obviously they go to school actually, so it's not like it's something. It's not like I have to be teaching actively. It's sort of if the kids want to learn some more, then you teach them. You'll play with them. There's also different grounds work and stuff that other volunteers have done previously. And I think now they're actually teaching monks and things. It's all sorts of stuff going on.
Is it like a wide variety of age groups, or is it just young children? Or
The actual orphanage itself goes from I think it's about 4 up till 18, so it's a wide range. It's all different. Yeah.
Do they give you any sort of training for, say, for example, if you've got like a 4-year-old, are you likely to get upset about, because they're in an orphanage, they've got no family, and conditions are going to be quite bad? Well, not what we'd expect, I suppose.
Yeah.
So do the charity give you any sort of training as to the emotional side of it?
They don't give you training as such. They obviously tell you that
they
tell you it's going to be emotional. You also have to fill out forms and everything to make sure that they feel you're suitable for that certain placement. You have to tell them everything, you know, you've done, why you want to do the placement, what interests you, everything like that. And you send that off to them, and they obviously review it and say, yes, this placement's for you, or no, it's not.
Well, good luck with it all, and have a great time out there. I'm sure there'll be some good stuff to do, as well as the hard work you're going to put in over the month that you're there. If people do want to contribute or find out more about your trip, what's your web address?
It's www.joescambodiatrip.moonfruit.com.
So joescambodiatrip.moonfruit.com, and you can find all the details, get in touch from there, and even see pictures of you both before and after your legs were waxed.
That's right.
Okay, well, your mother may well end up doing this more than once now she's got a taste for it, so be careful. You could be in agony in the right leg department, at least for some years to come. Have a good time, and enjoy the trip, and good luck, and I hope you get to raise not only all your funds, but extra cash for the orphanage too. Joe,
thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Right, let's take some music from the guys in the band. You've got to perform live. Zoe, you get to be the human microphone stand at this point. It's all technical. So what have we got lined up here? I need tambourines going in the background. So what are we going to hear now, John?
Forgive and Forget.
Okay, take it away. They are Seven Syndicate. So we don't hit the microphone quite so hard. It's upsetting my hearing. Cheers, guys. We'll get more from you in a bit. Okay. Yeah, well, you've got snack box out
there.
You know,
he's getting these sandwiches.
That's maracas that we're now waving around at the back of the room. They're preparing for the next one already. So with Lindsay, behave. Yeah, she's getting carried away. Right, back to the phone lines once more, and this time we're talking art. And Tony Russell joins us on the phone. Hello, sir.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Now, tell us a little bit about Breakthrough Art, because this is a website that's easily available out there, but you're actually doing quite a lot of work with artists, aren't you, in mental health?
Absolutely, yeah. It came about because I myself use photography as a coping strategy when I suffer from stress, anxiety and depression, and I realise the value it has for a lot of people out there, so we took the decision to try to showcase the creative talents of service users to as wide an audience as possible.
Now,
and develop the website.
And the website itself is available. How do people actually get themselves onto there? If they are, you know, they may have heard of this through searching on the web. It might have been pushed to them as a release and a way of helping them cope with the situation. So, but how would somebody go about getting their art featured?
All they'd need to do is email us and send a work through.
Just find the link on the website and we'll give the full web address in a short while's time. Now, it's run by yourself and Angie, and how much of a labour of love has this become? Because it must be great seeing the sort of artwork and yet knowing that its production has helped somebody through a difficult situation.
That's exactly right. You know, we've spent nearly 20 years now campaigning for better mental health services in this country, and sometimes working in mental health is not good for your mental health. So it's really refreshing when you work with really positive people on the creative and the performing arts. It's really uplifting. I wouldn't class it as work, actually. It's an absolute pleasure to work on this kind of stuff.
Now, you've recently done a walk as well, haven't you?
Yeah. I started in Kent in March and finished in Newcastle in May. I had intended to walk a lot further, but I got a foot injury. But I walked 350 miles. So.
Mm-hmm. And that was raising money as well?
Well, it had intended to raise awareness and raise funds, but the national media totally ignored me. I've no doubt that's because it's a mental health cause, but our other main objective was to lobby members of Parliament, and we were happily a lot more successful with that. That part of the strategy.
What other events are you working on at the moment then to coincide with the work that the website's doing?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. We're working on something called Park Art, which will take place in 15 towns and cities around the country in September next year after the Olympics. We'll simultaneously have creative and performing and visual arts on display in parks around the country.
And is that going to be also work that's been done by people who are using their mental health services as well as those who are just creative?
It's for people who use health services generally and mental health services specifically.
Okay, so give us the full web address then if people are interested in this and want to find out more.
Okay, the website address is www.breakthrough, M for mental, H for health, art.com, and that's all lowercase. And people can email us. We work at breakthroughmh@hotmail.co.uk. If I just check with my wife, who's a techie person, if people send us work, it has to be in what resolution?
As high resolution as possible.
Yeah, as high resolution as possible, please, on a JPEG.
Okay, and
now that means absolutely nothing to me, by the way. Techie one.
You're not technical, but she does the job and she brings the website together and is sharing people's art.
You can be the first to know that we are taking it into the world of football. We had a meeting with Gordon Taylor at the PFA last week. And we're working with a couple of the clubs in Yorkshire to start with, but hopefully we're going to take it national. We'll have service user art at football clubs.
So installations could be there. And really, not so much showing that this is done by someone who's got mental health issues, but really showing the level of creativity and expression. And the mental health is secondary to what's really happening, but it is a good way of say expression and really working through the situation someone finds himself in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's spot on. The mental health part is a side issue. The fact of the matter is, all the artists that we exhibit are just incredibly talented and creative people.
Brilliant. Give us the web address once more.
Okay, the website address is www.breakthroughmhart.com.
So breakthroughmhart, all as one word, .com. And you've got a Twitter feed as well?
We have actually, and it's Reflections 9.
Reflections 9 at Reflections 9 on Twitter. Track you down that way and you can follow the feed and find out what's going on and be one of the first to know once that work within the world of football starts to come together as well.
Absolutely, that's brilliant.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work as well.
Cheers.
Thanks then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, let's take another CD studio track from the band. John?
Lights and Vice.
That's all he needs to do. He just sits there. Lots of advice. Says the name of the track. Do you want to introduce it properly?
Yeah, the next song is Lights and Vice. She.
Seventh Syndicate with Lights and Vice. We've lost one of the band members. Where's Lindsay run off to? She about somewhere still. Yeah, she's gone to the toilet break. Were you playing live?
That's
in a
the
bit?
Clean version.
Yeah,
it?
So we need to get that one sorted. Make sure she's quiet when she comes back in. It's a podcast record going on here. Okay. Right. Now, we go back to the telephone lines. We're actually joined by Mark Porter from CheckhamLads.com. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I've just finished football training and I'm sat in my car in a park in Stoke.
Okay. That's all right. So that's a way to spend your Tuesday night. Now, you're part of the Midlands team for CheckhamLads.com, which is a charity set up, what, back in 2003 by the drummer Steve White from the Style Council, The Who, and also drum for Paul Weller, along with survivor and activist Philly Morris. Now, it's run by survivors to promote awareness of testicular cancer, isn't it? So that means right. You are in that category. So tell us a bit about your story.
Right, my story, basically, I 1998, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. I was driving one day in my car and I felt a bit uncomfortable. You know when you get like a dull cramp and you just can't get yourself comfortable at all.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really know what it was, left it a few days, and saw on the telly about this was a symptom of testicular cancer, and to make sure you check yourself. So obviously I had a bath, checked myself, and I found a lump. And I wasn't very, to say the least, happy about going to the doctor. I was quite embarrassed about it, but I decided to go. The doctor thought it was an infection, gave me some tablets, but made an appointment for a scan. This was in May. I had my scan in July. Was told within 24 hours it was a tumour. I was taken in an operation. I was then told transferred to an oncologist who specialised in testicular cancer. They did a body scan, told me that it was fine. It was just encapsulated in one area. But as the summer went on, I felt worse and worse, and I was really, really tired all the time. And I got no better. And then in October, November, I had a telephone call as I came back from holiday. And I said, it was the specialist. The specialist said to me, would I go in and see him in the afternoon? I kind of knew there was something seriously wrong there. And I went in to see him, and he said unfortunately, there was a problem with my scan that had been read. It had been read wrong or mixed with somebody else's. I can't remember the exact... I was quite numb at the time when he told me, but my cancer had spread and I needed chemo. So I ended up with 6 months of chemotherapy and got over it, got my life back on track, and decided a couple of years ago that I'd try and raise awareness for it, and got in touch with Philly at Checkham Lads, and I've been raising awareness with Checkham Lads in the Midlands ever since.
So how old were you when you actually discovered your cancer?
29.
And it is a young man's disease, isn't it, really?
It is a young man's disease, but... also, it can happen at any age as well. And I've met people who've had it at 50, and I've met people who've had it at 15. But it is mainly between the age of 15 and 35.
So you mentioned one of the main ways of noticing it earlier. What are the other ways of noticing it early on so it's easy to catch?
The best way to find it is to check yourself after a warm bath or shower, and if you've got any lumps or anything unusual... in your testicle. Also, you can have like a swelling in your groin, maybe a dull ache in the groin or a dull ache in the testes, or you can have a hardening or your testicles feel heavy. It could be that. But mainly, the best way to find it early is to check yourself regularly. I still check myself now weekly. After a warm bath or shower.
Now, there's five lads sitting very uncomfortably in the studio now. It is a very serious subject, something you must get to do. And I suppose you actually have to get to know what you feel like yourself so you can tell if there's any changes coming through.
Yes, that's right. You need to, just check yourself. And obviously, you know your own body and you know what's there and what isn't there. I mean, a 5-minute doctor appointment for them to have a feel just to make sure is nothing. And what we do at at Checkham Lads is we raise awareness. We go around raising awareness. We talk to everybody, and everywhere I go, if I'm in Tesco's, I'm talking to a guy, I ask him if he checks himself.
That must be an awkward conversation in the plum aisle. That's
Well, yeah, it is, but at the end of the day, we're saving lives. I mean, we're going up Snowdon on the 14th of August as the Checkham Lads Memorial Climb, because we're going up to as a memorial climb to remember all the people that have died from it. And there are people that die from it. If you catch it, it's a very curable cancer. But if you don't catch it, you will die. There's no happy medium about it. We don't want people dying because of embarrassment. We want people to be, have a long life, catch this early on, and once you've caught it, get it sorted out, get the treatment you need, and then get back to life.
How do you go around promoting it, and where do you promote it? Because I've got two young lads, and I'd like to think that it was being talked about in schools. I mean, I know it might be a bit embarrassing, perhaps, for the children.
The problem that we've got is we can't go and start talking about testicles to children in schools. It's not the done thing. But we're trying to get the government to hopefully get these children taught this, because from an early age, I know this sounds sexist, but from an early age, girls are taught about lumps in the breast, and they're taught about when they're a certain age they'll have smears. But guys aren't, it's always a taboo subject. And, it's best for, I would say the best way to get the message out there right now is for the mums and the dads of the kids to get on the internet, research it, and to talk about it with your children from an early age, so that you can bridge that embarrassment from it.
Well, as I say, I didn't realise that it was affecting people at such a young age, because 15 is quite young, isn't it? And as I say, my eldest lad's 19.
I've even read of babies and young children having it. It's, I mean, the most common is between the ages that I've said, but anybody can get it. It's one of them things. It just strikes.
But so it's symptoms as well that you perhaps wouldn't think. If you've been playing football or, doing a lot of exercise, you might put it down to that, but you need to make sure that it's not anything more serious.
Yeah, it's so important that we get this message out there that, we all know what lads are like. They won't go to the doctors if they've got a cold or anything, but this is, this is very, very important. I talk about it with my children all the time. I mean, luckily, I fathered a child since I've had my chemo. When I was told I wouldn't be able to, but my fertility came back. I've gone on a normal life ever since my treatment, apart from the fact that I have to now take testosterone because my body doesn't make enough. With only having one testicle, I don't make enough, so I was very tired all the time. But I take testosterone daily now, and I can understand people worrying about getting the message to the kids, but it's very, very important that we do it, and we will save lives.
Well, I think as a parent, you've got to overcome your embarrassment and talk about all those things that are going to be affecting your children as they grow up, and make sure that they know all the risks and all the, because I would rather take a bit of embarrassment and know that my son's going to be safe and know what to look out for than to sit there not saying anything and for him to get something like that and potentially die from it.
Yes, that's right. But the other thing that we do with Checkham, that's totally right, and that is the best attitude to have. If people can take that attitude on board, not get embarrassed, go and see a doctor, get it checked out, we people like me, we carry on even though we've only got one. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. I didn't have a prosthetic 150, but most people have. That's a good party piece, I suppose, isn't it? you've got to sometimes take a little bit of a non-serious look on it, so that people do take it more serious, if you know what I mean. I try and, you'd be surprised how many radio interviews I've done today. You're my second. Mm-hmm. I've got three more booked this week. People are taking a notice. I always suggest that, I don't know if you follow a football team or if you're going on holiday, but if you're going to a football match, you make sure you check you've got your ticket. If you're going on holiday, you check you've got your passport. You check you've locked your doors. We should be checking ourselves every single week and making sure that we don't lose any more people to this and we can eradicate it, and awareness is the best weapon we've got against it.
Well, it is all part of Men's Health Week, which is ongoing at the moment. It is something you can prevent the catastrophe of. It's going to be a problem. It needs to get fixed, but you've got to get something done about it to avoid it turning into a life-threatening condition.
That's right, yes, definitely. And, you know, you know, as Checkham lads, we're also there not just for raising awareness. We're also there so as if anybody is going through it or worried about it, we give them support. When you're going through that, it's nice to have somebody who's been through it, who, if you're not too sure about something, you can ask them. You know, it's I'm not going to kid you. Having chemotherapy is not nice. But when you know somebody who's had it and you know that they're going through what you're going through and they've come out of it the other end, that's positive outlook on it is a good thing, and that wins battles. Positive is all the best for me, if you get what I mean.
So what other ways have you got of raising awareness? Anything coming up in this particular?
Well, we're climbing up Snowdon on the 14th of August. We're going up on the memorial climb, and it's for all the people that we've lost to testicular cancer. One of the patrons of Checkham Lads, Mark Gorey, he's got a website called the Mark Gorey Foundation. Unfortunately, he passed away from testicular cancer. He would have been 26 this year, and we're going up on the 14th of August. It would have been his birthday that day. And we just remember the guys that we've lost to it, and we just hope we don't have to keep, you know, we don't want to lose anybody else. We want people to get aware, get in the bath, you know, don't be embarrassed, get down to the doctor, get it sorted out straight away. And the earlier you find it, the earlier you make that call to the doctor, the better chance you have of beating that illness.
And the doctor is going to be happier checking something for you that's just been a concern and, you know, maybe saying to you, yep, not a problem, just a natural cycle your body's going through. But go down there, check it, and at least you've got that peace of mind.
Yeah, I mean, when's the last time you checked yourself?
Last week, because I knew I was doing this interview.
And what about the other guys in the studio?
Rob?
Yeah, probably since our last week as well.
And the guys in the band, have you...
All the time.
That doesn't count, John. But,
just combine it with a scratch.
But you know, seriously though, it is something that you do need to think about doing, and be conscious and be aware. And it can sometimes be you think to do it, and it's, yeah, 3-4 months later before it triggers across your mind again. But it stick it in the diary, get your iPhone to remind you, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what you know. That's what people are doing, and people are starting to do that. And you know, we can all laugh and joke about it, and it is a bit of a, you know, checking yourself, and it's a bit embarrassing. But, you know, if you don't check yourself and you've got it, you'll die. That's it. End of story. You know, you will be another statistic, and that is not what we want. We don't want that. We want people like me spreading the message and trying to change the outlook on testicular cancer. It does happen. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody.
Yep, so make sure you're doing something about it, should it be the early stages. www.checkhamlads.com, CHECKEMLADS as one word, and you can find out all about it. It'll give you advice on how to do it as well, won't it? Because you need to know what you're looking for.
Yeah, it tells you how to check yourself. It tells you what to look for. Now, just two quick things. If you do find something and you're worried about it, go to the doctors. 9 times out of 10, it's nothing. It's normal. You know, it could be a little cyst. It could be anything. 9 times out of 10, it's not that. But on the one chance that it is, once you've got the doctors and you're in the system, you're going to get it sorted.
Yeah,
and that is an absolute, you know, that's what we want. We want people to beat it and get it done straight away. And that's all we're asking for. And the other quick thing is, if anybody is worried about it, if anybody's, you know, doesn't want to go on the site or doesn't want to talk to anybody about it, they can get me direct via my email at Checkham Lads. They can email me, it's all confidential, and it's mark@checkhamlads.com. So if they want to email me, mark@checkhamlads.com, it'll come straight through to me. Nobody else sees it. I can, you know, give any advice or support what they need.
Mark, thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing the message. And do keep keep those radio interviews and the and things like the climb taking place. Hopefully not as a memorial, hopefully purely to let people know that they need to do this and keep themselves safe.
Yeah, and make sure that band writes a song called Check 'em.
Okay, right. We shall put them in charge of that. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. You take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, cheers.
Bye. Bye now. Right, so can you improvise something for me called Check 'em? No, that's going to happen this next time you're in. Okay, John?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, and keep the rhymes clean. Right, meanwhile, though, we're going to have another tune from you now. What is it going to be?
It's going to be Deborah.
Right, we'll take a listen to Deborah as our final tune from Seventh Syndicate. Excellent. Once again, Seven Syndicate, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
23rd of July is the Slade Rooms gig.
Yeah, it's going to be electric that night.
All electric?
Yeah.
No, nothing acoustic at all?
No.
No. Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for coming down. Always good to see you. Lindsay, I'll see you at work tomorrow. good to have you here with us. And 12 months' time again, you're coming back for another one?
Definitely.
Assuming you're not too big to join us. But
we'll be jingle ready.
Yeah, okay, and singing about checking your testicles. Definitely. Right, we look forward to that. I'm expecting a tune. We'll play that. You want to do that, we'll play it at some point. Okay.
Yeah.
There might be a record dealer. The guys from Checkham Lads will probably sort you out. Okay, so back next week. Now, Zoe, you're on holiday.
Yep.
You've been back for 1 week, and you're away on holiday.
For 2 weeks.
Rob, you're with us.
I will be.
And that's your last week, isn't it?
It will be my last week, yeah. Whenever, really.
You'll pop back periodically.
I will do, yeah, definitely.
But you're off down to Bristol.
I'm off to Bristol. I've got a job after a year searching, so I finally got a job.
Well done. Thank you. Working in the industry you wanted to work in as well.
Kind of, unusual.
Yeah. I'm going to be an editor on a small magazine. It's all about the print industry, which I don't really know much about, but they were happy to take me on because they like my writing skills and they like my editing skills. So I said, yeah, brilliant.
And okay, and then you learn how to print from there.
So I can do, yes.
That'll do the job.
I'll pick it up as I go along.
Brilliant. Well, thank you all for joining us this week. Thanks to all our guests and the guys in the band, as ever. Good to hear from them. So that's it. We've done episode 105 out of the way. Episode 106 with you next week. Ta-ra for now from the Milk Bar. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar, yeah.